Please be seated. Pray with me. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to hear God's word. God of mercy, you promised never to break your covenant with us. Speak your eternal word to us that does not change. Then we may respond to your promises with obedient lives. Amen. Our scripture reading is from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Circle me, O God. Let your love Laura and John, thank you. Laura, I can't imagine anything more perfect for this evening
than that. Thank you so much.
It's nice to have some old friends here today. A few of them have come before, and I also have a former youth group student here. I won't embarrass her, but you can greet her afterwards. I'm just thankful for each one of you and that you've made time and space for this time together tonight. Our next reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, and this is Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. Now the festival of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. This is the word of the Lord. If you've ever been betrayed by a close friend, you know at least a small portion of the pain that Jesus is feeling and experiencing at this meal. Last Sunday, we just briefly explored the human side of Jesus, fully human, fully God, as he entered Jerusalem on a colt. And now, a few days later, he shares a final meal with his disciples. They celebrate the Passover together, which of course already has meaning, as it memorializes God's faithfulness and God's love, his deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And rituals such as this were and are to remind God's people of his presence and his promises to them. And so Jesus on this night gives that Passover meal and time with the disciples new meaning. There are times when friends and or family let us down. We are disappointed in another person. Happens a little often, doesn't it? Eventually, I think I will disappoint all of you I don't look forward to when that happens because you've been so hospitable and tremendously kind, just wonderful people to serve. But eventually, I will disappoint you in some way. And this is because sin is our human condition, isn't it? We hurt one another, we disappoint one another, and these things do happen. There are other times a close friend or a family member even betrays us, and it cuts a bit deeper than a simple disappointment. And this is a really painful season to work through. After a while, we begin to feel a little bit better, I think, but usually there's some remaining grief from that relationship. And then, I would like to add, I think there are times we anticipate losses of relationships like this. Maybe we see something inside ourselves that causes us to pull back a bit. Sometimes we even pull back from that relationship and forget why we did, or that we did, or what they did, or how we all got here, until later we're wondering, what is wrong with that person? It's pretty complicated. This year, as we've worshiped together through Lent and read of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, I've been very struck by the amount, the weight that Jesus had to carry to that cross. Judas' betrayal, Peter's, all of the disciples in some way, as we read further, will betray Jesus. Have you ever prepared what you hope will be the perfect meal for someone that you love? Perfect meal, you just can't wait. You have everything all set up, and it's, whether you've cooked or someone else has cooked, it's a very special meal. Jesus shares here he has felt eager to celebrate the Passover supper with his friends. And yet, aware of Jesus' coming betrayal of him, he predicts this and says, the person who is going to do this is sitting right here with us. And then in verse 23, the disciples, they begin to argue. Picture that perfect meal and celebration and Jesus' excitement. What a disappointment. Their argument, if you look ahead, actually continues into the verses that follow. Remember the story where Jesus' disciples argue about who's the best, who's the greatest, and Luke tells that story at this table. The disciples have completely missed the point. They've moved on awkwardly and inappropriately from this very sacred moment where Jesus has given this meal special and new meaning, the bread and the cup, and all their arguing has done has revealed their self-centeredness. As we talked about on Palm Sunday, Jesus has a lot on his heart and on his mind as he faces his betrayal and his arrest. He's going to die on their behalf, and his closest friends seated there with him are worried about their own honor and their own reputations and how they'll be remembered and probably who gets to sit where, ruining this Last Supper that I'm sure Jesus looked forward to with his friends. Jesus definitely carried the weight of the world. And here's the thing, as Jesus sits there with his friends, Jesus was preparing, as we witness this, to give what is all of himself to these people. He was all in for these people, and not just these people, but all of us as well. God humbled himself in Jesus Christ, born as a baby and walking among us, and the Apostle Paul says, in the form of God, he didn't regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Who would want to do that? And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient. We talked about that on Sunday, to the point of death. Paul says, even death on a cross. I picture this meal and those present, and I have to say, I'm not sure I would have done any better. I know my own ambition. I know my fatigue. I know my lack of engagement or annoyance with the others, maybe, or distractions or fear or desire to be liked. And despite Jesus' awareness exactly of how those next several hours would unfold, and that he would be betrayed by those who ate there with him that evening, he still died for those around that table, arguing amongst themselves. And he still died also for all of us. Consider your own relationships as I consider mine. Those we've let go, those maybe we've harbored some hurt or frustration over, those that remain broken, whose grief we carry with us. This Maundy Thursday, are there relationships God may be asking you to lean into, despite the hurt or the distance? I was talking with my husband in the car today about his tradition, and we were talking about the palms, you know, laid in front of the colt as Jesus entered the city. And a couple days later, they're kind of trampled, they're ripped, they're tossed aside, they're in the garbage, right? And the celebration is completely over. Leaning into that kind of celebration, knowing the hurt that is to come, as he was saying, in different traditions, they don't always celebrate that or look at a Palm Sunday because of the awareness and our own self-awareness of what is to come and how much we need Christ. So I'll ask you that question again. What relationships may God be asking you to lean into despite the hurt that has happened? And what would it look like to let go of whatever happened? Now, this is a wonderful verse I'm about to read. This is from Ephesians. We all know this. Those who are Jesus' followers are one in Christ. It says, he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one, and has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility between us. And that he does. Jews or Gentiles, friends or family, political differences, whatever those differences are. He does this between us and others, and he does this for us with Jesus Christ, rooted in him. And Jesus says, abide in me as I abide in you. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And he asks us to lean in, to lean into our relationship with him and to lean into our relationships with others. As we consider how to do that this evening, and as we come to the table, we remember that meal and all that he has done for us. Let us pray together. I actually invite you to, as I pray, if you'd like to hold your hands open in that posture, if that's comfortable for you, I would invite that. Lord Jesus, in communion with you, we eye. We hold our hands and our hearts open. We lean into you. We surrender to you. We invite the sweetest communion with you, a relationship in which we abide in you. On this night, we remember your betrayal and the meal with your disciples, and we come to you with humility and recognition of our own sin and our own need for you. Reveal, Lord, relationships we need to lean into, and in those reconciliations, be our peace. Lord, deepen our love for you through this meal. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.